You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Every trash EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shower with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Tuesday morning to you and yours. A nice day in New York City after the large amount of rain yesterday. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. We have a lot to do. I say good morning to Rick DiPietro. How are you, Rick?
Good morning, David. I'm doing fantastic, buddy.
Well, that's nice to know.
Happy to see you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Every day. Every day is a gift
I
get to spend with you.
And we could just unwrap the show and dive right in.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know. Isn't that
be kind a parrot?
Isn't that the beauty of the show, though?
I'll tell you what.
What?
I didn't wake up Monday morning at 2 a.m. and say to myself, I wonder, Dave could be a parrot today. Never thought it.
Nope.
But it happened.
Well, because things happen that you never anticipate will happen. On radio, period.
You think people in Eat the Oprah are like, oh no, Julius Randle, not respected.
You never know.
Never.
You know, the thing is, I don't have a plan. Things just happen. This is spur of the moment.
I love
you
it.
You want to tussle?
I love it. You keep things spicy.
Got me
it's like a good relationship.
That's right.
I never know.
You never know what's going to happen, and that's the beauty of what we do here. So,
have you done yes. crack?
Did you guys discuss this before the show?
No.
We're going to line all
no.
these drops up?
No. They came in. They were both in a bad mood.
Why?
Yeah, because there's
the
no
hair?
No, the hair was beautiful because there's no sound cut.
Uh-huh.
So they got to come in here cutting all sorts of sound, talking all radio lingo. I'm like, fellas, I didn't go to school for this. Talk English.
What radio lingo were they saying that you didn't understand?
Cutting do have tons of competence.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it's all stuff like that. I just want to come and chop it up.
Chop it up.
Chop it up.
All right, let's chop it up.
Let's chop it up.
All right, so we got Knicks. Nice and tidy.
Tidy.
Although first half, I was like, oh, come on.
Not great.
Seriously, but not second half, nice and tidy. I'll tell you what my takeaway is about the Knicks and its big picture-ish now is the health of Jalen Brunson.
Right.
I am legitimately concerned with Jalen Brunson because he has not played the majority of the last, week plus, and he couldn't play last night. I guess he pushed to play, and they were like, no. You're not going to play. There's no reason to play
against
Houston.
No, you got a huge
game
Wednesday against Miami. No.
Right. Those are huge games coming up later in this week, but... I mean, here's the thing. If Brunson is healthy and fine, I think the Knicks have a legitimate chance to beat Cleveland. If he's not, no chance to beat Cleveland.
No. None. You're not wrong. And last night was nice because Julius only played 28 minutes. Give him a little break.
That's right. I don't even think he stepped on the court in the fourth quarter,
no.
right?
And listen, Obi had a really good fourth quarter. Obi had 15 in the fourth quarter, so good for him, and IQ had the 40 piece. Here's the question, though. And I'll get jumped for this one, but it's a fair question. At this point.
I like it, and I'm excited for it.
Is Emmanuel Quickley a better player than R.J. Barrett?
Is Emmanuel? Well, they're different players, right?
I know they're of course they're different players.
Is he a better player than R.J. Barrett? I don't think he'll get jumped for it, and he's produced more than R.J. Barrett.
Is he a more important player to the Knicks' success than R.J. Barrett right now?
Well, it's hard to determine how much time you're going to get from Emmanuel Quickley, right? If Brunson's healthy and playing well, you're not going to get a ton of time from Quickley.
Well, no, you say that, but I mean, again, Tibbs's favorite lineup closing games
right.
is IQ,
Hart.
Brunson, and Hart
mm-hmm.
with Randall and whoever they're going to put at the five.
Right. Right. Is he more important than R.J. Barrett? I mean, I think he's very important. Without Emmanuel Quickly, you would because he plays really well defensively. He can shoot the
basketball. He's an elite defender, by the
way. Yeah. I mean, he does a lot of things well. I'll tell you what, the things he does well, he does better than the things R.J. Barrett does well. And he's more consistently good.
I mean, he's been a revelation this year, man.
Yeah,
he really, he's been sensational. Right there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins six man of the year.
Why would you be jumped for something like that,
though? Well, because I mean, people with R.J. Barrett. I like him too, but I mean, this year is not.
I understand
what we expected.
There's a large faction of people that don't love R.J. Barrett.
No, I think there's a large faction that do love R.J. Barrett.
But I'm saying I would understand if there's a large that does. Like, with R.J. Barrett, we're 4 years in now. Can we say we're 4 years in?
Yeah, we're 4 years in. Yeah.
He's been disappointing up
to this
point.
He's a young player, but we're 4 years in. Yeah, that's no lie.
I mean, you watch Paolo Banchero play in Orlando. Same school, similar position, stud. Like, you know, and they're not winning a ton of games, but you could tell he's getting better as the season is going along, and he's a stud. You watch R.J. Barrett, and there's games where you say to yourself, boy, he's really good. And there's games where you say to yourself, what's going on with this guy? And it feels like there's more times that you say, what's going on with this guy than the other. And that's frustrating. That's concerning. He's not in the rotation to finish games right now.
Yeah, well, he's, again, I mean, you mentioned why Quickly is an important piece of this thing, is because Quickly's defense. I mean, at a certain point during the season, Clyde said, I mean, R.J. Barrett's their worst defender. And we've said how many times? It's, I mean, a big piece of being a good defender is wanting to be a good defender, is the effort that it takes.
Right.
And Hart gives you that effort. IQ gives you that effort.
Hart's a terrific defensive player. He's a hard-nosed player.
Right. He's awesome. And Brunson's not a great defensive player, but...
But he makes up for it in other ways.
Right.
So therein lies the problem. If I told you that R.J. Barrett was going to give you 30 and 10 and be a pedestrian defensive player, you'd say, all right, I'm getting big things from him on the offensive end. You don't know what you're going to get from him offensively. And let's be fair. As a pure shooter, he's terrible.
He's not a great shooter.
No. He's terrible.
You said terrible. Yeah, he's not
great. I'll say it again. He's terrible. As far as just a shooter, he's terrible. He can score. He's a slasher. He takes it to the basket well at times. He's a terrible shooter.
When he's aggressive and he takes it to the rim, he's good. Yes. But yeah, I mean, I watch IQ play and what he's been able to do this season. You know, once they went, they tightened up the rotation. He started getting some more legitimate minutes. Like last night was one of those nights. No Brunson. It's a game. You had a couple days. You know, Tibbs was talking about the team was out of sorts. Have a couple days, relax a little bit. I mean, you had Julius snapping on IQ. They were sitting next to each other on the bench. I mean, it happens. Listen, I got in so many fights with good friends on teams.
I didn't like that, though.
No,
I still don't like that.
In practice, fine. Like, that would happen in practice all the time. You get fed up because you're seeing these guys every day. It's competitive. Like, good teams compete like that in practice. But the guy's trying to do you a solid. It's a bad look, right? We already talked about that.
It's a terrible, awful look.
But that's a good spot for someone to step up. Right, like you know what Julius is going to give you. And first quarter he came out and he was great in the first quarter. But someone needed to step up with no Brunson because it's a game you had to win.
Right.
And it was IQ last night.
Right. And it was a nice soft landing spot too, which was nice.
Well, yeah, but still. I mean,
Here's the thing. When it's a game where if you win it by 50, no one cares. But if you lose it, you get destroyed. You have to go and take care of business. And they did. Right. So I give him a lot of credit.
Look at the efficiency he did it with, though.
Yeah.
I mean, on 18 shots, he scored 40.
Yeah. Great.
Solid.
Excellent. Good shooter. Good defense. I mean, listen, you saw the best of IQ last night.
9 assists. Like, last night was a really good game for him.
That's about as well as he can play.
Yeah.
He was absolutely elite. He really was. So, let's take a listen. Here is IQ, because he had 38, and they were talking about it, and then he got fouled, and he went to the line, and did you hear what he said? He's like, I was more nervous for these two free throws than I've ever been in my life. He really wanted the 40 on his teammates pushing him to get that big 4-0.
Never pushed me to get 40 and also try to get that 10th assist. Just speaks to the great teammates that I have each and every day. I'm blessed to be able to come in and have great, not only great basketball players, but have great people. I don't take that for granted at all, having great teammates, because everybody doesn't have it.
All right. Well, it's nice that his teammates cared about that. It is.
Of course it is. Well, it shows you, listen, we've said the entire season, they're a tight-knit group. You can tell they care about each other. And, I mean, they're in a spot now where they're going to finish strong, wrap up that 5 seed, and then give themselves a legitimate chance to try to win a playoff series. But you're right. I mean, you said it. The most important thing right now is Jalen Brunson being 100%.
And that worries me. Because now you're in the final.
Well,
it's
two different things now.
What, they have 6 games left?
It's two different things. Yeah, and you got a big one coming up. I mean, Wednesday's game is big against Miami.
Yes, but it would be collapse-ish now if they didn't get the 5 seed.
Yeah, but we said that last week. I mean, they go through the 3-game losing streak, and we're like, okay, hold on. Let's take a step back here. I mean, this is the time where you got to start hitting your stride. Everyone's playing at their best.
Right.
And that's not what they were doing. So take care of business last night, which they did. And you could see Houston quit. Like, it was visible. Like, you could see them say, you know what?
You know what got me nervous? So listening to the game, and Breen is like,
a lot of guys on Houston, they've never played in the Garden before, and they're so excited to play. I was like, great, that's wonderful. Because once they get a taste of, oh, it's the Garden and the crowd and everything, but no, they got run out of the building. So Knicks 43-33. So 76 games, they have six left. Nets and the Heat, both 40-35. If you don't wind up with the five seed, it would be catastrophic
be
at
awful.
This point.
Yeah, it would be awful.
Absolutely catastrophic. Now, do you pay any attention to this? Philadelphia 49-26, Cleveland 48-28. The last thing you want to have happen.
You do not want to play. No,
is Cleveland Cleveland moves up to the three and Philadelphia drops to the four because Embiid was rested last night.
Yep.
Which I didn't like. I mean, I understand I understand why they did it, but it was a game against Jokic and the Nuggets, and I would have liked to see that matchup. And Harden also hurt with an Achilles, so he didn't play either.
Yeah, but I think that speaks to, I mean, I actually look at it as I think Embiid wanted to play, and they're holding him out. But, I mean, for him, like, I mean, if he wins the MVP, great. But I think it speaks to what he's really trying to accomplish, which is make a run to a championship.
Joe from Brooklyn says, when R.J. Barrett has a decent game scoring 19 points, you guys create your own narrative saying he's horrible. No one.
See, I told you. No one said he was horrible.
No one said he's horrible.
No, it just at some
and
point
no one
you
said
expect
he was bad last night.
No, like, but listen, dude, I'm telling you, like, having lived through this, and I know it's not the Knicks, it's the Islanders, but when you're a high draft pick, there are expectations that as you, like, maybe it's not year one, but you're expecting, especially going into year four, that there's going to be some kind of pop. There's going to be a jump where all of a sudden now you establish yourself as an all-star and you have that kind of consistency. It almost reminds me of the Rangers a little bit.
What, with Kako and Lafreniere?
Yeah.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference. When the Rangers made the postseason last year, what was their best line?
Was the kid line.
Okay. So if we get into the postseason this year and R.J. Barrett all of a sudden has a second gear and he's rolling along and you say to yourself, where is this in the regular season? That's a different conversation. But I don't feel like that's
going
to happen.
Well, you didn't see it against Atlanta, right? I mean, that was the thing.
You didn't see anything against Atlanta.
Well, it was Julius and no one else. So, yeah, no, you're not wrong. But you would just expect, like the year Lafreniere was drafted, when you look at the third overall pick, Tim Stützle, that kid's now, he's popped. Like, he's turned himself
and
into...
Hughes is a monster.
He's turned himself into a great player. So, like, you're at some point, you're like, okay, when you use a pick that high, the kid is just going to... It's going to snap into it, and he's going to be what we expected. And it just for some reason hasn't happened yet.
No. And the thing is, though, and here's the thing as well, do you not expect Kako, Lafreniere, to take it to the next level when the Rangers go to the postseason?
Yeah, well, they have to.
Right, but you expect it.
Well, because you saw it. I expect it now because I saw it.
Right. Do you expect it from R.J. Barrett?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Well, he's only had one taste, so I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, and in fairness, the taste was in year two for him.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is year four.
Right.
Maybe he'll be a better version of himself. But there is legitimate pressure on the Knicks now. I'm not saying if they lose the series, they'll get hammered, and I don't think that's right, and I don't think that's fair. But if the Knicks go out there and have a Hawks-like performance in this first round, they'll get crushed. And you know what? Rightfully so.
Yeah, I think they're a much better team than we saw 2 years ago. When they got into the playoffs. Like, four seed was...
That was like the perfect storm. There's no fans at the games. They took every game like it was a game seven. Other teams took days off. Like, everything was perfect. This team would beat that team in five games.
I don't even think that's a question.
This is
a much better team.
Crush that team.
This is a much better team. The pieces actually fit with this team. They're a good team. They're a good team.
They're a good... I totally agree with you. But here's the thing. Having a good team, if you get bounced in six games to Cleveland, will the fan base look at this and say, oh, that was nice?
I think it depends. I think it depends on how it looks. But, I mean, again, like when you're a good team, if you're a good team that competes their butts off and, you know, plays the system it's the way it's meant to be played, you give yourself a chance. Like, now, is that a run through the playoffs into the finals or the Eastern Conference final? No. But you've seen in plenty of sports when a team like this, right, they're capable of going on a run. I don't know if this team is capable of doing that, but, I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't be a very competitive first-round series.
At a minimum, very competitive first-round series against what looks to be Cleveland. All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Torque Tools, DIY, day sale. It's going on right now. Save on hand tools, power tools, and more. Shop in-store online at O'ReillyAuto.com. I had a car issue yesterday.
In your luxury vehicle? What happened?
Yeah, a tire. I got a notification. No. A tire was low on air pressure.
Slow leak?
Well, I don't know what happened, but filled it up to the appropriate PSI.
Yeah.
And now we wait.
Now we wait.
Drove in today and no issues.
No issues.
No issues.
It could be a slow leak.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. You have the run flats?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that
means. The tire that runs flat, like if it's flat.
He has no idea what that means.
Why is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. But he says
nothing for the first 15 minutes. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's a chance to take a shot. Let me get involved.
Well, I said nothing because I'm busy giving you all that precious audio.
Don't you see that?
What was that?
Gifting precious audio
to make fun of me. How precious that is.
Who do you think cut up the Tibbs stuff?
I'm sure Raymond did.
Raymond and RJ did.
Yeah. Well, how about the guys last night? They did nothing? Call them out right now. The guys last night, they did nothing, and you guys are livid about it. Call them out.
I'm left a little wanting in the audio department this morning.
Really?
A little bit.
So you, let's start a battle right here, right now. You hate the night people.
You think this is a battle, like this is something new. That's what's funny.
So this has been going on for an extended period of time, and you are done with the night people.
No, I'm not done with anybody. I can't be done. I've got to continue to work with people.
So you hate them, but you're forced to work with them. Nod. Just nod.
You're going to keep trying.
Blink twice.
I appreciate what you're trying to do here.
I'm really on your side. I mean, how about this? I'm going to say something, cut it up, because you guys are like you know, origami masters with the cutting stuff up, and then send it to the night people. All right? So this goes to Joe Leo and Harvey Cruz and Kushnick and all these night people. All right? Do your job. Cut the audio and don't leave all these guys to do all the work in the morning.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that, I'm going to put it on a loop, and every time somebody walks in the room, they're going to hear that.
That's right. You see what I do for you?
You're a good guy, Dave Rothenberg.
See that?
Not only is RJ up at like 2:00 in the morning every day, and Raymond doesn't sleep. He just doesn't have to wake up because he doesn't sleep. RJ, they both had a fire drill yesterday, and RJ was, I mean, you should have seen him this morning. Rattled.
From the fire drill?
Oh, rattled.
Well, we got to find out about this.
I'll tell you after the break, but he was, dude, I mean, guy got him.
Really?
I was going to say, guy got him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ani, Staten Island. Good morning, Ani. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the call.
So real quick, Barrett, if he works on his outside shot and if he works on his stop and pop, I think he would be much better and improved. Everyone knows he's going to drive left, and sometimes he'll drive right and use his right hand. But that's pretty much what's hindering him right now. And it's no surprise that the Knicks need a superstar. And with the reeling Dallas Mavericks, I'm thinking if we should be on a Luka watch. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for making the call. I'll tell you what, if Luka Doncic became available, you would have to go all in to try to get him.
Right.
But you can't trade if you're Dallas.
No, I mean, he's the face of the franchise. They don't have him. I mean, who do they have?
You got Kyrie.
No.
No, he got into it with another fan last night. They won,
Kyrie
but
did.
Yeah, they yeah. won, but they didn't get him kicked out. I mean, they won. I don't know. Listen, I mean, I always feel like we get back in the same spot all the time with the Knicks, talking about whose superstar can we attract.
They don't have a superstar.
No, I know, but it's. I mean, it's always the same thing, though. It's where do we find a superstar?
Well, you heard Windhorst say it last week, right? You got to find someone who's disgruntled and make an offer for them this summer. And he thinks it's realistic this summer.
Right,
you can
but I could have
one
played,
or two guys.
Yeah, but I mean, we could have played. I'm sure we have the same Windy drop from 2 years ago. We said the same thing.
Maybe. Well, at least you're an entertaining team and you have some talent and you're winning games. You're going to be going to the playoffs rather than winning 34 games and saying we desperately have to get that guy this offseason.
Yeah, you're a viable option for one of these guys, now.
Right?
Because it's not. I'm going to come by myself and try to carry this thing, and we're nowhere close. And then I take all the blame if it doesn't work out.
No, if you traded picks and Barrett and Grimes, I don't know. I'm just making up a trade, and you got a legitimate stud player to go with Brunson and Randall. I mean, now you're talking.
Right, now you're talking. But again, I mean, how many players out there are at the level that you're going to do that want to come here or are not happy with their situations?
I mean, I don't know. It seems like he's happy or he wants to be. Dame Lillard is a guy like that. Doncic would be a guy like that, certainly. I mean, you'd trade the whole farm for Doncic.
Right. But, I mean, what is Dallas going to do?
I have no idea.
I mean, Dallas has one of the best players in the league.
That's the thing that's so weird. It's like you build your entire franchise to try to get a player like Doncic. How can you trade him away?
Because if he doesn't want to be there, then he'll force his way out.
That's your only hope.
That's it.
Is that he says, you know what, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
But who else is out there that's like that?
Right now at the moment, I don't know.
I mean, is Bradley Beal guy you want? I wouldn't bring
him in. That's going to make that kind of difference that you need. It seems like Bradley Beal is happy just making tons of money in Washington.
Yeah. Kind of irrelevancy in Washington.
And Dame is making a ton of money in Portland.
And he loves Portland.
Well, he did say the other day, though, that if they're going to start going the rebuilding route, he's all set.
But how old is Dame Lillard?
32.
Okay. So you have to start to think about, do you want to bring in? Because now you have a finite window. You bring in Doncic, you're going to be good forever.
I know about finite windows, buddy. Bringing in a 39-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
Little crack.
Yeah.
Jump right through that thing.
You better.
We better.
Have you done crack?
Because if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Big, big trouble. Let's go to, this is interesting. Let's go to Steve in Chappaqua.
You're an idiot.
Steve, what?
This is interesting.
It's interesting that someone would have this idea to bring to the show. Good morning, Steve.
You guys are absolutely the best. The best. One of the threads of the past couple of weeks is Rick's kind of flirtation with your white date.
Yeah, it's awkward and uncomfortable.
I was wondering if for the good of the show, you guys did a Mike Kekich, Fritz Peterson kind of swap.
Wife swap.
Yeah.
Do it live. Have it be a thread through many, many weeks. The initial flirtation, the trip to Las Vegas, the sleepover. Have it live and have it culminate in something, yes or no, like kind of like The Bachelor. What do you think? For the good of the show, guys.
I think for the good of the show,
it'd be great.
I do. I think for the good of the show. Yeah. RJ, do you not believe for the good of the show for us to have a something like that happen would be ideal?
I mean, we're talking like Aaron Rodgers short-term payoff here, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it all just blows up.
I think long-term,
yeah.
It's for you and I personally,
I don't think it's great.
It doesn't end well.
Yeah, I don't think... Cassie verbally braids Dave. He shows up. He's crying. He's upset.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at that case, why don't we just take all four of us? We'll throw just names in a hat.
And you pick it out.
Yeah,
you
could get
with.
Ange. I could get Sherry. Someone could get Ray's rubber doll. Oh, who knows?
Hang on. let me start my sheet for the day. It's Rick.
For the good of this show. Document all of it. The sleepovers.
Document. Well, why was Vegas involved?
I guess you'd go to get wild.
I think Steve just wants to go to Vegas.
I think, yeah, the
all right, so
weird
Rick,
things happen in Vegas.
One.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
All right, so it's one for Rick. No one else has a shot taken yet.
All right.
RJ, am I breaking now?
Would you normally break now?
I don't know.
You okay?
No. I'm confused.
When he sat down this morning, he goes, I'm going to take a little nap. Guys, tell me when the show starts.
Well, you want to know what happened? Oh, we don't break until the top of the hour now.
You know what's troubling about what's happening?
What?
Is I could understand this. I won't, get too nerdy.
No. Get nerdy.
But the way that our commercials work, we call it the clock. Under no circumstance ever have we broken it this time. Old format, 5 to 8, 6 to 10.
Look at his face.
And you look puzzled.
Puzzled face.
You look like I'm throwing calculus at you.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, what's the thing?
This man needs help.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I don't know what to say. I stepped right in it, and I'll own it. I don't know the clock at all.
None.
Well, because we do
break at 40 at some point.
Right.
Wait,
in the 9 o'clock hour, right. What time do we break?
That's
40.
There you go.
Well, because the first segment's to 25, though, I think.
Agreed. Listen, it's not my finest moment, no. But he said we never break at 40.
No, this is like RJ yesterday during the fire drill. He's confused.
At 640.
Well, not at 640.
Not at 640,
you said
not
never,
at 740.
Ever break at a 40.
Right.
No, he said 640. Said this particular
surprise. Raymond's on RJ's side.
Of course he is. You want to talk about his hair for a minute?
Put my surprise face on.
What a beautiful pompadour you have going on there.
Product in it.
Don't lash out because you got caught in your.
So
in your
I didn't get
nonsense.
Caught. I made a mistake. So I'm sorry. I don't live in your world where I'm perfect.
Who said I was perfect?
No, they're not perfect. They both buckled under the pressure of a fire drill yesterday.
What happened that you keep talking about this fire drill?
Because they think they're smart, and RJ goes in with this this plan in his head that if he throws this staircase has smoke, RJ's going this staircase. What if both staircases? Then he's going here. You're going to break through that wall. The guy had him, though. Couldn't break through the wall?
The former fire chief.
You tried to break through the wall and couldn't?
No. The former fire chief that conducts our fire drills gives us pop quizzes. And you think it's like you're a batter and you think you've got the pitcher served or solved, and you're like you're sitting on a curveball, and then he just throws you.
And he calls strike one, right?
Strike, yeah. I mean, Rick was here last time. One of the answers to the questions, how would you ever come to this, was run through the wall.
Burst through the drywall.
So this time I think I got him, right? He's like, okay, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You can't go up, can't go down. I go, well, you go through the wall. He's like, you can't do that. I go, you go to stairway A. There's smoke there. Okay, you can't do the elevator because that's electrical. You go to stairway B. Smoke there too. Now what do you do? I don't know. There's a secret phone you have to pick up.
A secret phone?
There's a phone here. Yes.
And then you put that elevator in fire chief mode. Yeah. Boom. Out the elevator.
He's just got...
You get it. Wow.
He's
Why don't you just walk down the stairs?
No, there's smoke.
There's smoke.
Well, you can walk through a little smoke. We're not that high up here.
You failed.
You
jumps out the window,
you
for
put
sure.
Your shirt over your mouth, and you power through the smoke.
I would love to see you go back and forth with this man.
He never shows up for a meeting.
Well, unless there's a fire between 5:56 and 10:01, I'm good.
Well... You know what the problem was? The reason Rick was here and Ray was here during the last one, say, oh, isn't there four of you? Yeah.
Did he say, isn't there four of you?
He literally did ask that question.
And you said, there is.
He's just never
But you'll never see
it. Yeah, we said Dave's practicing powering through the smoke and stairwell.
Well, we'll have to tell him. What we'll have to tell him is
that, if I don't see flames, I'm going through.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
Is to get here prior to the end of a show and to not let you leave. You can't pull a Debbie Duhame on him.
You're going to check? Really?
Can you imagine that?
You think that this fire marshal is going to keep me hostage here after the show?
Yes.
No.
Not allowed.
He's a fire
What
warden.
Do you mean? You're not allowed to leave. Once he sees you, you're in.
What does that mean? He locks me in?
Yeah. You can't leave. It's against the rules.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
If he sees me and I'm standing here and I was like, listen, I have to go. He's like, no.
No, you have to sit through this.
Just try and get past it.
Right. You think half an hour he's going to keep me here?
Do you have any idea what happens if a crane falls on the building? You don't know.
Yeah, it crushes the building.
You don't know. We know. That was one of the scenarios.
He will play Fire Stump Rothenberg with you.
That's what he plays.
Oh, he'll crush you.
Tell me where did this firefighter go to college? Ask me.
Could you imagine?
Where did Captain Nigro go to college?
RJ, could you imagine this guy's face, though, if Dave was like, stairwell A's got smoke. What do you do? I power through it. Put my shirt over my face.
That's right.
Dave would argue with him about how wrong he is.
I happen to know a lot about fire.
He would tell the fire warden he has no clue how to deal with fires.
I would power right through it. Now, if you said smoke only, I'm powering through.
Well, you don't know.
I see flames, you don't that's know what, different. Now you I stop
You don't
drop
know what kind of
roll.
Smoke it is. You don't know where it's coming from.
I think stop, drop, and roll was face stopped.
I think that's if you're actually on fire.
So to paint the picture, it's Dave running into the smoke, rolling around in the hallway.
No, I stop, drop, and roll.
This is why you need to be at the meetings.
Dave is singing the song as he rolls around into the smoke.
Oh, my God. All right, we'll pick up this great conversation in a little bit. Let's bring him in. He forced himself on us in an ungodly hour, and here he is, the greatness that is our show and station general manager, and that's Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're fine, but I don't understand why you were going to join us at 7:20 or 7:35, and now all of a sudden we're pigeonholed into a 6:45 slot with you.
I know those silly ESPN schedules, responsibilities, commitments, and people that proactively try to schedule things in a proper time. I know how rude of them, right?
That's a shot. Put them on the list.
Is that a shot at RJ?
We just go by what we see, right? You know, like the dance card filled up pretty quick today, and RJ was a little slow to the trigger.
RJ, do you have a response towards Mike before we start the interview as far as the mock draft is concerned?
Listen, I suppose he's not wrong.
So you're a hack.
Wow. All right, this is awkward. How you doing, Mike?
I like RJ a lot, you know, just... you know, maybe yesterday wasn't his finest day, but doing great and good to be with you guys.
All right, so I know you have to go in about 6-7 minutes, so let's get right to it. So you put your mock draft out. I'm running through it, and you know exactly what the first thing that shocked me was, right?
Well, hold on.
What?
Yeah, the first question you were supposed to ask him to explain to people before you start asking about the actual picks in the draft is this his preferences? Is this what he thinks is going to happen?
I think this – explain – the narrative around your GM mock draft.
Yep. So it was put myself in each of the 32 teams or 31 this year as their GM guys and said, like, based on what's happened so far in the offseason, based on the needs of each respective team, here's what I would do as their GM.
Okay. So it's what he would do as their GM. Now, Mike, I can go to my question. You tell everyone what my first order of business is going to be and explain why you took that pick for this team.
Okay, so I'm sure it's going to be about the quarterbacks. I got five of them in the top 11, and if that's a good jumping off point, I assume that's where you want to start.
Well, not only there, but one specific, and that's number five with the Seattle Seahawks. Is there any realistic chance that Hendon Hooker goes to Seattle at number five overall in this draft?
Yeah, he should. He's this year's Justin Herbert, guys. He's an under-scouted player. He started 37 games between Virginia Tech and Tennessee. I've seen him in person. He is physically the prototype. He tore his ACL, but for the ACL injury, he may even go higher. I know a lot of people are high on Anthony Richardson, guys, but when you reconcile one guy started 37 games and Hendon Hooker, Anthony Richardson started 13 games, and Anthony Richardson was 115th in the country in accuracy. Now, look, that'll get better as he gets to the next level, but when you really watch the tape and study Hooker versus Richardson, in my mind, it's not really even close.
So, Mike, so after C.J. Stroud's, I mean, what you saw against Georgia and then his pro day, I mean, combine and then pro day, a lot of people have him now up at one. You still have Bryce Young. For you, why is it Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, Rick, this is razor thin. I think both guys are going to be exceptional. I think when you just look at Bryce Young's body of work over a period of time playing in the SEC, I think he has a chance to be really special despite being small. And typically, I like guys that are bigger. But over 27 starts, he only has 4 losses, 80 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. You know, look, Stroud, candidly, isn't much different. He has 25 starts, 85 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I think at the end of the day, Bryce Young was just a little bit more athletic the way he played. I thought C.J. Stroud was exceptional in the Peach Bowl against Georgia, had a great combine and pro day. And, again, it's razor thin. To me, they're a 1-1A.
All right, so you have the Jets going 13, keeping that pick, obviously, and taking Paris Johnson, offensive lineman out of Ohio State. Does he make them much better right away? Because you have a real run on offensive linemen, right? You have 9, 10, 13, 14, 15. Is that your order of preference, or is that your order of preference for these teams specifically?
I think it's really for those teams and kind of the way I like them as well. And when you look at a guy like Paris Johnson, look, we've talked for a couple of years, you know, the offensive line of the Jets, and they've tried to address it, you know, with Becton and Pant and Vera Tucker, but between free agency and injuries, I think Paris Johnson can come in, guys, and start day one, presumptively, for Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Mike, so Giants,
possibility. I mean, I don't know what's happening with Odell, but they're clearly trying to put weapons around Daniel Jones. Wide receivers, you have them taking Jalen Hyatt. If they had their choice of all the receivers available, who's your favorite in this year's draft?
Well, you know, they're a little bit different. The reason I like Hyatt for the Giants is because he could really run and he's good size. Like Quentin Richardson may go before him. Quentin Richardson, guys, is a little bit like Mike Evans. Just really, really big, played at TCU. But I think for the Giants, even a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba may go before Jalen Hyatt. But I think what the Giants really need is a bona fide outside guy who could play outside the numbers, who's big, can high point the ball. And what's really impressive about Hyatt in particular, guys, is when Josh Heupel got to Tennessee, that's when Hyatt strived. And usually when a new coach comes in, guys transfer and all, and Hyatt did just the opposite.
All right, so Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. He has big duties coming up later today. He's going to be on Get Up, and we're very excited for that. Sports Center, NFL.
He's a big star.
Insider and
big
GM.
Star. Yeah, I'd like to say we kind of sent him on his way, though.
I think so. You look at us fondly because we kind of got you to this level, I would think. Right, Mike?
No question. I would say my career was outcome determinative by my, you know, appearances on your show, and but for that, who knows where I would be. So I greatly appreciate all the help that you've given me.
All right, so firstly, how strange was that Lamar Jackson Twitter barrage yesterday to you? And secondly, what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think he plays for the Ravens, or you think they trade him before the season?
Yeah, guys, that one's a little weird to me. You know, like, if he was going to put out a tweet, he should have done it on the first day of free agency. Now, look, I don't know if that would have changed things. Like, he's going to have to show flexibility on his contract just in terms of, you know, what's been reported, what he's asked for. And I just – look, you could come out of the draft now with the way the collective bargaining agreement is, and you can make an argument that maybe you don't need an agent, but he needs one now, and I think that's hurt him. You know, he deserves to get a long-term contract, and maybe there's a way that both Baltimore and Lamar can claim victory, and – you know, maybe that's a shorter-term deal. You know, if you guys remember, Kirk Cousins went from Washington to Minnesota, fully guaranteed $84 billion a year deal. So maybe now that's $120, $125 million fully guaranteed deal on a three-year deal. It's not Deshaun Watson, but maybe there's a compromise in there.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike T., last one from me. This Aaron Rodgers thing, I mean, it's going to happen, just a question of when. What do you think is the big holdup right now?
Good question. I don't know. It sounds like they're close. And if I'm Joe Douglas, I want to get it done. I want to get it done before the offseason program. I want certainty he's in the building. And if they have to tweak or give up a little bit more, even if it's on a one-year deal, I think now's the time to get it done so you can maximize his ability to play there.
Who has more leverage, the Jets or the Packers, in this deal?
You know, I've been clear on that. I've said it's the Packers because at the and Brian Gutekunst said this yesterday, Dave, from a standpoint of, we'll just take him back. We signed him to a three-year deal. If we have incredible depth at the quarterback position with him and Jordan Love, great, no problem. I think the Jets right now, you know, they're doing a good job trying to get this deal done, but what's their alternative? Like, if there's some sort of, like, unforeseen hiccup here, what is their alternative? You know, once Mike White signed with the Dolphins, I really felt like this was a deal – instead of it being a nice to have, it was a have to have.
Is there any chance, realistically, that this falls through?
You know, I just don't. You know, the only other thing is, and I've worked with some of these star players before, like, he may just wake up and say, you know what, my body isn't feeling the way I thought it was going to feel, and, you know, I really appreciate what you want to do for me in New York, but I'm going to call it a day, and, you know, Fox calls or, you know, some network calls and throw so much money at them. You just never know with these guys. Like, once they reach the status of an Aaron Rodgers and a Peyton Manning, you're just dealing in a different stratosphere.
All right, Mike, I lied. Dave asked so many questions it made me want to ask one more. How are we at this point? Like, isn't this something that should have been hammered out before the Jets showed all their cards and how much, you know, the level of desperation now? Like, shouldn't a deal like been pretty much agreed to before this happened?
In fairness, maybe it was. Like, we don't know. You know, there could be a time and place to criticize them. We don't know what the deal is going to look like. Or, you know, certainly I would have hoped they had conversations before they went out to see him in terms of what a trade could look like. But, look, if they could get Aaron Rodgers, we all know that's a huge upgrade over what they had. And to me, if you have to overpay by a second or third round pick That's not ideal, guys, but I'll tell you what, like, based on what they played with last year, it's a massive, massive upgrade.
All right, Mike, listen, I know you have other things to do today, more important things. You're going to be on Get Up, you're going to be on SportsCenter, but I'm glad you could, you know, get us in there.
Wedge us in a little bit.
Yeah, wedge us in for a few minutes this morning.
You guys are batting first. Huh? You're number one in the lineup here. Of the, you know, of all the other commitments, this was number one, despite RJ being a little slow on the trigger yesterday.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. All right, so Mike, listen, have a great day. Good luck on all the shows and hits you're going to do, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Very good. That, of course, is the elite Mike Tenenbaum, who took massive haymakers at RJ Sinton.
Massive haymakers.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So what names are you looking for now?
I don't know.
I felt like he was close to giving us something right there.
Give us something.
I can't. I've already
so
given
you guys
too
are
much.
So closed off over there.
No, we're not.
I mean, Ray tells us nothing, and you tell us very little.
I tell you all kinds of things.
No, you tell us on like a need-to-know basis. We need to know. Please, tell us.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't know. I don't have one.
How about this, by the way? I have someone. I'm not going to tell you who, because it's not a great look. They were battling back and forth with the baby name. They have the baby. They're still battling. I want this. The husband says, I want this. I want this. I want this. Husband goes to get food. She picks the name. She signs the birth certificate. And she ships it off.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And mind you now, divorced.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. You can't do...
Was it a good name, though?
It's a nice name.
Was it better than...
I don't know what his name was. All I know is if you're making unilateral decisions either way there, the marriage is not destined for
great things.
At any moment.
Too.
Divorce!
Not destined for great things.
Divorce no. At any moment.
This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus and Hackensack and Old Bridge and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. RJ, have you looked at the MLB preview put up by Buster Olney?
I have not.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. So we have the season starts on Thursday. MLB season preview rankings and playoff odds for all 30 teams. All right. Projected record, playoff odds, World Series odds. The top team on the list, Rick, is?
Best World Series odds?
I guess just the... let me see. Is it the top
one? What is it, though?
No.
Can you ask the question properly.
It's the team they consider to be the best team in baseball. It's not the highest World Series odds. It's the best team in baseball.
Best team in baseball.
Correct.
Ooh, I'm going to go with the best team in baseball is the Houston Astros.
RJ, where are you going? Best team in baseball is?
I will say, The yes. How about I'm a homer if I say the Yankees.
Well,
how you about can the Yankees?
How about the Yankees? Raymond?
I'll agree with Rick. I'll also say Astros.
All right, Rick, Raymond, you are correct. RJ, no.
I lose.
Astros, projected record, but mind you, 92-70.
92, huh?
That's all? Is that a 14-game difference?
That's right.
That's a huge difference.
They won 106.
Playoff odds, 78%, and World Series odds, 8.2%. Number two team, power rankings entering the season. Rick, since you got the first one, you go first again.
National League or American League?
Do we all want to agree on getting that answer?
Yeah, can we have a hint?
I would happily accept that answer.
Yeah, we'll take a little niblet.
National.
Ooh. National League.
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to go. I know who it is.
Who is it?
Padres.
RJ?
I will agree, actually.
Raymond.
I think they win the NL West, yeah.
It's almost surprising to say Padres, but yeah. We'll go Padres.
You're all right. Their projected record, a one game better than the Astros at 93-69. Playoff odds, 81%. World Series odds, 8.7%. Does anybody care to take a crack at the third team? And then I'll tell you a couple, and we'll run through the Yankees and the Mets, too.
Is it bad that the sound of San Diego Padres makes me ill?
No, because of what happened last year, absolutely not. They are loaded.
Loaded.
They want to win terribly.
Would you be surprised if Soto wins the MVP?
No. How many guys do they have on that team that could win the MVP?
Soto, Machado.
Yeah.
Tatis is back.
I am completely miserable, San Diego.
I don't know how many he's missing, but he's back.
He's still suspended, though, isn't he?
Did you see?
Not many, like 18 or something?
That's still a
Did you
bunch
see the
games.
Throw he made from right field the other day, the third?
He's awesome. But he's never healthy, too.
Cannon.
All right, go ahead. Number three on this list.
Number three, best team in baseball. National League, American League.
National. Sorry.
Yeah, the Braves.
RJ?
It has to be the Braves.
Raymond?
I concur.
You're Braves. All right. They are projected to go 94-68, 85% playoff odds, 10.5% chance at the World Series.
By the way, it looks like Tatis could play. I'm seeing April 26th.
All right, so that's he's missing the first month of the season then.
It's He'll be fine.
The time. I'm not saying he won't be fine. I'm just saying to win the MVP, that's a lot of time to miss. All right. Where do the Yankees, where do the Mets check in? Let's start with the Yankees. Where do the Yankees check in? We start with Rick.
So we're through three?
Yeah, I gave you one Astros, two Padres, three Braves. Where do the Yankees check in?
I will put the Yankees at, what are the teams do I have here?
You have the Yankees, you have the Mets, you have the Dodgers, you have the, I'll put the Yankees Blue Jays, the Phillies.
I'll put the Yankees at five.
At five?
No, four.
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 Four. RJ, where are you putting the Yankees?
They have to be next.
You think they're four?
They're better than the Dodgers.
Right? Okay.
They have to be.
Dodgers seemingly took a big step back. And Raymond?
I think the Yankees are better than the Dodgers, but for some reason, I think that this list won't have them there. So I'll say Rick's first thought, five.
So he says Yankees five. RJ and Rick, you are correct. Yankees are four.
Yes.
Projected. Ooh. And by the way, let's revisit this since it was such great fodder conversation. When I said Yankees will have a better record than the Astros, this preseason projection concurs. 96-66, an 88% chance of getting to the postseason, and a 12.4% chance of the World Series.
Wait, so if I remember correctly, all those numbers are higher than the Astros.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay. No, they're saying Astros.
This is to win a World Series,
yeah,
though.
They're saying who's the best team? And they're saying the Astros, who has the best chance to win the World Series, could be different than who's the best team heading into the season right now. That doesn't make any sense?
They're playing the long game. Buster's playing the long game.
Listen, it's Buster only. Is he joining us Thursday? Or have you not reached out to him yet?
You have to reach out. We established this.
Oh, I have to reach out.
He doesn't respond to me.
Okay.
We're very open that he doesn't care for me.
So let's see if I have this now. Tannenbaum doesn't like you. Buster doesn't like you. Mel Kiper doesn't care for you.
Tannenbaum said he loves RJ.
No.
Not on the air, he didn't.
Well, Kiper and I, very tight.
No.
Yes.
Kiper comes on the show for one reason and one reason only.
The whipped cream.
We feed his addiction. That's it.
I have an email saved because I thought it was so special where he says many kind things to me.
What does he say? Read it.
Let's hear from your email.
What a guy.
I want you to read it. I want you to tell us what Kiper says to you.
This is why you can't be told anything.
Why?
This right here.
Why?
He gives you.
He just said it on the air that
he gives
Kuiper
you a little
that.
Nibble. You don't even miss a beat.
I don't want to read the whole cup. Yeah. I don't want to nibble. Everything. I want a nibble.
I want a corn nibble.
I'm hungry.
All right. So this is over the last year. We've gone back and forth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just chat.
You're on a non-guest booking, chatting kind of a level with Mel Kiper Jr.
Sometimes. So this was This was an excerpt from one of his emails. This is, without question, my all-time favorite show to do.
I don't see that's a stroking of your ego.
Just wait, though.
No.
Dave and Rick are phenomenal. As are you, RJ.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it all happen without you.
That's nice. I don't think it's over the top.
It's good for the show.
Great for the show.
So dismissive.
He said nice things about my packing, too.
Very nice.
Well, here's another excerpt.
Okay.
Responding to an email back and forth. Have a great weekend, RJ. Tell Dave and Rick, thank you as well. They do an amazing job. And you are a, quote, blue chip producer.
That's nicer. That's very nice. And he's not wrong. You're elite.
Just not with Buster and Mike.
Right. I'll reach out to Buster.
I would appreciate that.
Can we finish playing, by the way? Yeah. So Astros 1, Padres 2, Braves 3, Yankees 4. Where are the Mets?
They better be next.
You think Mets 5?
They better be.
Mets, okay, Mets at 5. RJ,
No. Where we're at? We're Yankees?
Yankees were 4.
No, because they'll have the Dodgers probably before the Mets.
I'll take the Mets over the Dodgers.
I'll take the Mets 5.
I'll go Dodgers.
So the question is not who's next. The question is where are the Mets?
5.
Oh, where are the Mets?
Where are the Mets?
So we've gone through 4.
We've gone through 4.
So I'm going to say Dodgers. I'll say 6 then.
6, okay. Yep. RJ?
Mets 5.
Mets 5. Raymond?
6.
RJ? You're on the outside looking
in. Oh, no.
No. Raymond and Rick are correct.
Yes.
Yes. Mets are 6. Dodgers 5. Mets 6. Mets projected record?
What is it? No, I guess whatever Santiago last makes me laugh. What?
90-72. Playoff odds, 71%. World Series odds, 5.6%. You want to hear what they say about the Mets?
I would like to hear what they say about the Yankees and the Mets.
I'll read them both to you.
Thank you.
What's changed most since we last saw them? The payroll. The Mets have spared no expense in building a roster that is long on star power and looks pretty deep as well. Yet there is a major void that opened up late in spring training with Edwin Diaz. Still pains me, by the way. The top current reliever in baseball injured his knee. We don't need to know about that. We know that. A bright, bright spotlight will now shine on relievers David Robertson, Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley, and perhaps most of all, Buck Showalter when the season begins. The season will be a success if... Now, this is many different baseball writers, by the way. What's the guy's name? Doolittle is his last name. Is it Branford or Bradley? No?
Bradford.
Bradford Doolittle. Yeah.
Okay, what are you looking at me like I'm crazy for? God forbid you help me out there.
No, because I didn't...
And then it's Schoenfield is the other one. David Schoenfield, I think, maybe?
I think it's Jim.
There's no way it's Jim Schoenfield. there's no way.
Oh, I think you're right. It's Dave.
Jim Schoenfield was the Devils head coach.
How great would that be?
I think it's Jim. I'll go with Jim. Boy, you're a treat. The season will be a success if, let's just say that owner Steve Cohen doesn't have any vacations to Hawaii planned for the first week of November. Remember to leave a couple of additional days for a ticker tape parade, Steve. Most likely 2023 award winner for the Mets is Scherzer and Verlander are basically fused at the hip for obvious reasons. Late in their careers, blah, 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 pitching six Cy Youngs fall off at some point, but there still have been signs that they're terrific so far. Until they prove otherwise, they'll continue to vie more Cy Youngs, including this season. Our realistic, bold prediction. With Diaz out, Robertson leads the team in saves, but David Bednar will be the closer when the Mets reach the postseason after he comes over in a trade with the Pirates. So that's kind of the look at the Mets as we head into the season. For the Yankees, 96-66, 88% playoff odds, 12.4% World Series odds. What's changed since we saw them last? Yankees should have a younger look this season, which as a Yankees fan, you got to love hearing
love
that. After seeing a number of 30-something players leave via free agency, all eyes in spring training have been on Anthony Volpe, who might take them over the top at shortstop as soon as opening day after the Yankees announced he will start the season with the club. Eyes have been on free agent prize Carlos Rodon as well, but not for a great reason. Yankees' splashiest addition already has a bulky elbow. If he's healthy, he'll team up with Gerrit Cole for a super 1-2 punch atop the Yankees' rotation. Season will be a success if, then this is what stinks. If they win the World Series. That's it. That's it. That's not me.
That's
not you. That's not the fans. That's what they're saying here.
No, that's the fans.
Well, it's the fans.
Yeah.
But it will be a success if they win the World Series. Do we need to explain this? The Yankees haven't been to a World Series since 2009. Bad luck, garbage can scandals, conspiracy theories, too many strikeouts, bad clutch hitting, not enough left-handed hitters, no Hart, no Jeter, no Rivera. Aaron Boone cannot manage his way out of a wet paper bag. Whatever the excuse or whatever the reason, Yankee fans have multitudes of them. It's time to raise a trophy. That, to me, is the most damning or most important or most impactful thing that we've discussed since we started this conversation.
I don't think it's not news to anybody, though.
Well, I think that most people would be okay if they made it to the World Series, no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if they beat the Astros on their way to the World Series, yeah. But they got to get to a World Series.
They haven't been to a World Series since 2009.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a long time for this team.
Well, I mean, especially when, again, your GM was talking about multiple championships. You can't win multiple if you don't win one. You got to get to one first.
Right. It's hard to win it if you don't get to it.
Right.
Most likely 2023 award winner. What Aaron Judge did last season, produce, you know, his lines, draw 111 walks, the whole thing, and still manage an AL record 62 home runs would be amazing in any era. It seems impossible in this one, given how difficult hitting has become. Judge has become an MVP contender every time he plays a full season. There's no reason that wouldn't be the case again in 2023. So Judge most likely award winner. And one realistic, bold prediction. Judge follows up his 62 home run season with 47 and a bunch of other superlative statistics. Doesn't win the MVP award. Finishes third.
Wouldn't surprise anybody.
No.
No.
47. What do you think right now? How many home runs would you say that's realistic, good season? Because don't say 62.
No, it's not going to be 62. I would say somewhere between what the realistic number is going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say 45.
Yeah, I would say somewhere like 37 to...
37?
37, in between 37 and 45 probably.
Yeah. So upside of 45.
Yeah.
That's a lot of home runs.
It's a lot of home runs.
If he hits 37 home runs, Yankee fans would be disappointed.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But listen, man, the season he had last year is one of the great seasons you've ever seen offensively.
He's awesome.
He was amazing. I mean, he carried them in the second half of the season. Really, I mean, he did. Like, when you look at his second half numbers, they're insane.
And they almost collapsed. And if not for him, they could have collapsed. There was pressure on him. There was pressure on him to keep their head above water and win the division. There was pressure on him to break the record. I mean, there was as much pressure on Aaron Judge last year as I ever remember on a player in a regular season.
The biggest thing for him now is do it in the postseason. This postseason was not great last year.
No, it's bad.
Yeah. And against the Astros was not good. I think he's 1-for-16. Like, they need to hit.
Well, they need to put a better lineup in front of him, too.
Right, but they need to hit. There's a team they need to hit better in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Right now, we're spending all our time talking about the injuries to the rotation, but, I mean, once Rodon is back, and who knows how long Severino's going to be out, but you expect him to be in the playoffs, it's can you hit in the playoffs?
So right now, Cortez is my number two starter. Herman is my number three starter.
Or Schmidt.
And then Schmidt four, and then Heal is my...
Heal's out.
So who's my...
Brito.
Is my fifth starter.
Right now.
Rodon, we see him in April.
He said he threw 30 pitches and said he felt good.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, he's had two seasons where he's been healthy.
Right, but he's been healthy recently.
Recently. But, I mean, you're talking
that's
about...
That's the worst thing. You acquire a pitcher and he's hurt before he even takes the mound.
Well, he already did. I mean, that was Frankie Montas. They acquired him hurt.
Awful.
And now he's hurt again.
Awful.
Or still hurt. I always get nervous like that, though, when you have somebody that's in that last... That's had injury problems, and then all of a sudden, as they get closer to free agency, all of a sudden, magically become healthy. You know what I mean? That always makes me nervous.
It terrifies you. It terrifies you. Because it's like
I hope that's not the case, but that always makes me... Because he seems like he's...
The Mets have it, too, in Quintana.
Yeah.
I mean, you spent big money on a free agent pitcher. You expect big things from him, and then all of a sudden he's hurt before the season even starts. He's going to miss half the season.
See, but that's the thing, though. I mean, when you look at both of these teams, like you're still like we're still talking about some of the same issues, right? Like with the Mets, you're light a bat, and then what you've done is you've replaced Bassett, Taijuan Walker, and DeGrom,
right,
with Verlander, Quintana, and Senga. You really don't know what Senga is.
Quintana's gone.
And Quintana's hurt.
Right. So you're going to need the guys that you didn't want to count on, and you count on them. That's why this idea of, like, we have seven pitchers, what will we do? It'll work itself out.
Need all of them.
It'll work itself out.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The Giants and John Mara and Saquon Barkley. I don't think this is ugly, but it's clearly not what Saquon wants. Saquon wants a deal, and the Giants, they've made it pretty obvious. We're not willing to give you a long-term deal. It's not going to happen.
Joe Shane has made it pretty obvious.
Okay, well, what I actually like in this whole scenario is Joe Shane appears he's the one making these decisions. Because if you listen to John Mara, he doesn't want Barkley going anywhere.
We want him to be a Giant for his entire career, if that's possible. We'd love to have him. He again provides leadership. He's a great player. We'd like to get something done with him at some point. The running back market is what it is right now. I'm still hopeful that at some point we'll be able to come to an agreement.
And Joe Shane is basically saying, that's not going to happen. We're not signing this guy to a long-term deal. We're not expending that kind of money and that kind of equity on a guy that the shelf life is just not there for him.
Well, more importantly, too, it sounds like the deal that they initially offered during the bye week is off the table now.
That is correct. Well, what leverage does he have?
Now he has none.
He has no leverage.
No.
So either you're going to sign...
And it's not like it's a robust running back market right now.
You're going to sign a tremendously friendly deal for us, or you're going to play on the franchise tag. Sorry.
They have the leverage.
Sorry.
But you wonder, for people wondering, why it's so important that ownership doesn't get involved when you're making these kind of decisions, was for what you just heard. Was that left to his own devices because he likes him, he likes the person, right, the leadership and everything else.
He's a great guy, he's the face of the franchise, the fans love him, he acts appropriately in every scenario. He's a great image guy that he would say, let's lock him up. That's not how you do business. It's not. You know it.
Take the emotion out of it. No, they're doing the right thing. I mean, that's why it was so important for them to make sure Daniel Jones got a deal done. Cap flexibility and also having the ability to put the tag so they knew Saquon was coming back. Won't be happy. Not going to be happy about playing under the tag.
Right.
Unless he decides he wants to now take, you know, $12 million a year or $11.5 million a year. Joe Shane just said during the bye, like, this is it. This is the deal. You
and
want
if you don't take this
it.
Deal, you'll never get a better deal from us.
Yeah, we want to let you know. The running back market's not going to be great. You want to take the opportunity to go see what's out there. I mean, you may not get that chance because we're going to tag you. We get something done with Daniel, then you're going to get tagged.
Right, and that's where we are. So he's going to be here with the Giants this year. He's going to probably be unhappy. He's not going to have a choice.
He'll have to be productive because he's still fighting for a contract.
You can't give up a season.
No.
So what happened to Le'Veon Bell, it was a disaster after he gave up that season. And then the Giants will tag you next year.
Maybe it gets worked out, though. Maybe it does. Maybe when push comes to shove, you know, John Mara just says, hey, let's get this done. Nothing crazy, but let's get it done. Sends the right message to the locker room. He's everything that we're looking for in a player.
But what I like here is that it feels like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are running things.
And it should.
And I didn't feel like that with Dave Gettleman.
Absolutely not.
I felt the opposite.
It felt like that's why Dave Gettleman got the job.
Because John Mara could use him as a puppet?
Well, yeah, it's just how the Giants do their business. How many times do we hear that? They want to hire someone that knew how the Giants did business.
Right. And we'll try to build around Eli Manning, who's, you know, the prodigal son here in New York, and we can make it work one last time with him. Where the truth was, he was on his last legs, and you didn't build it properly, and I don't even know if you built it properly if you could have made it work with Eli.
No, probably not. But it definitely was not built properly. You're heading in the right direction. I mean, Giants
right
fans
direction.
should be thrilled.
Yeah. There's a sense of normalcy. There's not a sense of panic. There's just like, you're right. You're like, you said it. You're heading in the right direction. And it's not chaotic. It's just let the Jets grab all the headlines, and deservedly so, and let the Giants just put their head down and take care of business.
I think that's it's smart too, because there's a real chance that they could be a more talented team, a better team, and not have the same kind of results.
They will definitively, in my mind, be a more talented team.
Oh yeah, of course. But I mean, maybe not. I mean, they won a playoff game, man.
I get it.
A road playoff game.
I get it. I mean, are they going to win a playoff game again? It's unlikely. It's unlikely.
Who knows? I mean, the matchup was perfect for them.
They could. Unless they're going to be so. I mean, Waller is such a matchup nightmare.
Stays healthy, absolutely.
The offensive line is going to look so much differently.
Neil's going to take a. I would think Neil's going to take a
huge
step.
Feliciano moves on. They're going to shore up the middle three of the offensive line, right? I mean, you're going to. You have Paris Campbell. You're probably going to add another receiver. You've added the linebacker from Indianapolis, right? I mean, things are. You're going to be a much better team.
I think the only question would be, with all the close one-score games that they won, when you start going through these things, right. Like you saw what Minnesota's win.
I mean, how fortunate did they get to beat Baltimore and Green Bay and a number of games that they really had no business winning, and they at the end of the game you're like, they won that
but
game.
But you're not looking at, I mean, the NFC is not the AFC, so.
No, but their schedule's tough.
Schedule's tough, but I mean, Daniel Jones threw 15 touchdowns. And because it was so much better than what we had seen in the previous 2 years, everyone is acting like this amazing season. It was better than you. I mean, it was a good season.
No, it wasn't.
It's a good season.
It was a good season
in comparison to his other two seasons.
It was a good season in comparison to his last two seasons, and it was a good season in looking at what he had talent wise to produce. But was it a good season? No. It was not a good season.
It was not a great season.
He was great.
Statistically, no.
In the Colts game.
Yes.
He was awesome.
Minnesota.
In the Vikings game.
Right.
Was it a great season? No. It was not. You can't argue.
It was 22 touchdowns.
Season.
I mean, it was 15 throwing and 7 rushing. Limited the turnovers, which was really good. Ran the ball well.
Yes.
But there's more.
Very athletic.
But there's more.
There're going to be bigger expectations. There's going to be more weapons. It's year 2 under this regime. But you're going to have, I mean, listen, Waller's a weapon. Who is their second best weapon last season?
Isaiah Hodgins.
Okay. So, I mean, what more is there to discuss?
No, there isn't. They'll be better. I just think when you start going like this exercise that we all do with the win losses and everything else, and you talk about the team that, you know, which last place team will win the division, which teams that were in the playoffs won't be in the playoffs this year. You do the same thing with Minnesota, talk about, you know, 11-0 in one score games. Like, they'll be one of the teams you look at and go, they were really fortunate.
Yeah, but it's not like they're over under 6. They're over under 8.5. So it's a coin flip whether the Giants are above 500 or right there.
But you trust their coach, so I would say, I mean, you probably go with the over.
Yes.
If the coach can get that out of that, I mean, if the coach could get a season like that with a playoff win, with the talent he had last year.
The problem
in the first year of a new system.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The problem, and Martindale's so good too, and so is Kafka. The problem is your division is there's no layup there, and you're going up again. What do the Giants play this year? They play the AFC East, which you could argue is the best division of football if it pans out the way it could. Right? And Rodgers winds up there?
Yeah. Well, he's going to, not if. Rodgers is winding up there.
Okay. So then, I mean, the schedule is much more daunting this year than it was last year.
So you play your division at home.
What division do they play in the NFC?
Green Bay.
They play the NFC North?
You play Green Bay at home. You play Jets at home, Patriots at home. You play the Rams at home, and you play Seattle at home. And then on the road, you play San Francisco.
So they play the West.
Yeah, you play San Francisco. You play Arizona. You play New Orleans. Vegas and Dolphins and Bills. It's a tough schedule.
So they play the NFC West and the AFC East. And then you sprinkle in Green Bay and the Raiders.
Right.
Is what the Giants have.
That's right.
Okay. It's all right. Not the end of the world.
No, not the end of the world. But I mean, New Orleans would be better. Washington's still trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be.
Right.
Who knows what
Vegas should not be great.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd think that'd be a little bit of an uptick, Jimmy G, in the system that he knows.
Where's the Seattle game?
Seattle game's home.
Okay.
Arizona don't have a quarterback. They're gonna
stink. Yeah. They have the lowest over-under coming into the season.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.